And we begin the second hour of Off the Beaten Path. I am your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is August 20, 2023. We're on the phone with Mac in California. Before we get to wine, I like talking about wine. Like I said, it's one of my passions. The dozen or so celebrities that lived in Maui had mansions on Maui for some reason. Their houses escaped the incinerator there. And the trying to buy the land up from these people and ahead of time, and then they didn't want to sell. And then after now the devastation of the fires themselves, now they're hovering like vultures over, we want to buy your land. I mean, quite obviously there's an agenda here. We saw it at the beginning, trying to buy the land and they wouldn't sell. And now you'll sell, right? And then we can rebuild it the way we want to. Or maybe we'll just make it an island. Maybe they'll make a Hawaii Maui into an Epstein Island just for the for those folks that like that that kiddie porn stuff. They might like that that island for themselves. But let's talk about some wine. Mac, what do you want to talk about wine?
Well, you know, I've toured Napa, I've toured Sonoma. I didn't think Napa was really that special in comparison to Sonoma. I think Sonoma's far more charming with Sonoma Square and the Bear Revolt revolution took place there. They have a monument dedicated to the Bear Revolt. That's why there's a bear on the California flag, and yep, right in that corner of the square is also one of the Sonoma Mission. Mm-hmm. And I would caution any listeners, if you ever come to wine country in Northern California, in my firm opinion, I would pass on Napa and I would go to Sonoma. And here's the reason why. Are you familiar with Buena Vista Winery in Sonoma?
Yeah, I am. I'm familiar. I have contacts. I did have contacts at Rodney Strong, Claude Dubois.
Oh, wow.
Jay Lore. I got to know people at Jay Lore pretty good. That's actually down in Santa Barbara. Jay, there's a lot of wineries I dealt with as far as grapes and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm familiar.
I just want to read you really quick something. The bio on Agustin Hazarathy. Agustin Hazarathy, Spanish, was a Hungarian-American nobleman, adventurer, traveler, writer, town builder, and pioneer winemaker in Wisconsin and California, often referred to as the father of California wine alongside Junipero Serra, as well as the father of California viticulture, or the father of modern winemaking in California. One of the first men to plant vineyards in Wisconsin, he was the founder of the Buena Vista Winery in Sonoma, California, and the early writer on California wine and viticulture. And I went to that winery, and they have a cool museum, a lot of history there, and apparently they indicate that he was commissioned by the governor of California to start the winery industry in California. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
You can find that on Wikipedia. Really charming property. You can walk through Buena Vista Winery, and they have two labels. One is Buena Vista, the other one is Hazarathy, and it's a really cool property. Check out. It's the oldest winery in Sonoma, if not all of Napa and Sonoma. It's really cool.
You know, it's funny. I had a chance when I was starting off as a travel nurse and all over the country. I left from Utah and I thought, I want to travel. I had a friend who was took an assignment in Modesto, California, and she said, come out here, start your first assignment in Modesto. It's kind of cool. And I get to Modesto. Of course, I find out Modesto is pretty much the hub for Gallo Winery. I don't know if you know Gallo. Gallo is huge. Gallo owns a lot of wineries. They've bought up a lot of varietal-type high-end wine. They've bought up a lot of wineries over the years. But if you ever turn a bottle over and you see Modesto on the label somewhere, a process, something with Modesto, that's a Gallo product. I'll just let you know that right offhand. So I got to Modesto, and I thought to myself, yeah, I got to go, you know, check out some different things. And, of course, Gallo had a much better reputation back in the 70s and 80s. They actually made a decent jug wine back in the days. And of a Cabernet, which now today they buy so much grapes, so many different kinds of grapes, and they buy in bulk, and that's why that jug wine is so cheap. And it's not the greatest quality, but they used to be much better quality back in the 70s and 80s. And so I got a little interest in wine. I had a little knowledge of wine and started reading quite a bit. And then I had another assignment. I said, well, it's Santa Rosa. It's Sonoma County. And a lot of wineries there. Napa's not too far away, 30 miles away. I'll take an assignment there. And, of course, I worked with a guy in the ICU, he had his own winery. And I thought, wow, he's got a good-sized winery. Not real huge. I think he was small cap, probably right around 3,500 cases pretty much a year. And he had several different varietals. And so I kind of showed up, and I learned from the ground up of how to process wine, picking, processing, fermentation, the whole thing, pump overs, everything you can think of with wine. I learned before I started my first vintage back in 2011. And I continued from that point on. Every year I had a barrel or two of wine, different kinds of varietals. Entered a couple contests. I won a couple silver medals in the state fair for amateur stuff. But it was fun. And it was funny is because when I moved to Santa Rosa, I had this idea to educate myself. Wherever I am, I want to educate myself to the environment, everything here I can. I'm in the perfect place to be. Wine, okay? I'm going to learn about wine. I'm going to learn everything about wine. I'm going to go to seminars. I'm going to do everything wine. I also said to myself, I made a goal that I would drink at least 100 in 1 year contract, 100 bottles of quality wine, or at least wine that I could do a review. And I had a little book, and I'd write down the bottle of the wine in the year, the vintage year, and how I judged it. I was not a judge at that time, so I had to learn about palate and body and everything else, and aromatics and all the terminology you can think of that you'd learn if you're in the business. You learn. And I got to be very educated, and I said, like I said, I'm going to start making my own wine now. And I bought all the gear. I've got a crusher, distemmer. I've got a crush pad. I've got the press. I got everything, man. I put some money into this, and I still have it. So, like I said, I want to get back into it. But what's funny about the 100 bottles of wine, I actually made my goal of, in 1 year, drinking 100 bottles of wine. Actually, it was like 125. And I'm a kind of guy that recycles, so I'm a big recycle guy. So I had this huge, on my patio, this big, giant bin. It was cardboard, and it was covered so it wouldn't get wet. And I threw every bottle I had in there. And at one point in time, I said, well, when the year's up, I'll take this to the recycling center, and I will recycle all these bottles. I'll do the right things, recycle the bottles. So I load my SUV up with all these crates of bottles, and I bring them to the recycling center, and I expected to get a little bit of money out of this. And the guy says, yeah, okay, we weighed it. I forget how many 100 pounds of bottles I had, but he said, okay. And I was waiting for him to write me out a check. And he reaches into a little tin box he has, and he pulled out $2.50. I got $2.50 for like $125 pounds of bottles.
Wow.
There's no money in this. Well, there's money in aluminum. There's money in other things, but your glass bottles, not worth much of anything. I got $2.50 for all those bottles.
Couldn't you use those bottles to put new fresh wine in?
No, actually what I did was, since I was in the wine business and I had people and distributors, and I got my hands on all kinds of equipment, get discounted. Wineries are always upgrading. They're getting rid of old equipment. I get new equipment. It's new equipment for me. It's old for them. They're always updating. And I have people that say, well, I ordered 1,000 cases of Shiners. Shiners are bottles that just have no label, nothing, They're green glass, they're 750cc bottles, Shiners. And I would place an order on top of that, of his order, and buy a really nice discount through a big winery. Or I'd buy 1,000 corks through another winery because I was in with them. So I tapped into their order. And I belong to a wine club called Genco. And we got all this stuff discounted anyway. So the labels, the foils, you name it. Design my own labels, this and that. And I really got into it. It was more than a hobby. It got to become kind of a career, on the side.
It's a world unto itself.
I'd take it much further if I'd stayed. I would have taken it much further. I would have done what they call custom crush. And you have a lot of wineries that they'll go buy 7,000, 10,000 pounds of grapes, of varietal grapes. They'll bring it to a winery. They'll have them crush it. They'll use their facility to crush it and destem it, and even store it and start the fermentation process there. And you pay them so much money for the crush and destemming and the fermentation. You pay them so much money And you end up pressing. They press it there at the winery, and then you bottle it, and you store it away. Oh, actually, you don't bottle it unless it's a white. It'll go in barrels, and it'll go into to the barrel room for about a year and a half, 18 months. And then a couple rackings in between to get the sediment off and retop it. CO2 it. That's where your CO2 comes in handy, to CO2 gas it to make sure there's no airspace to oxygenation of the wine. And it was just a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It became a second career for me. And I was very angry that I had to leave California. I had to leave that behind.
Well, I can understand. You know, it's an amazing culture, that area, and it is a world unto itself. Mm-hmm. So I could see how you got caught up into it. I'll say one last winery. I can't recall its name, but it was a family from upstate New York that moved out to Sonoma. And they're right across from Jack London State Park. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I have. I know where that is. I'm trying to think who it might be. I know where
and
that
his
is.
His house burnt down, and you can take the walking tour. So you go to this winery across the street, and they it's all natural permaculture. They don't use any chemicals. I forgot what it's called, but they're an upstate
family.
They call it
sustainable farming. Sustainable farming.
So it's a beautiful vineyard, and you can walk the entire vineyard, and they have a great little museum dedicated to all the different soils they grow the vines in, and they show the colors of the soil and so forth. And you can get free tickets from them to go to the Jack London State Park. So you stop there before you go to Jack London State Park.
I'm sorry. It's nice. I enjoyed it, and... like I said, it was very hard. It was very hard to make that decision. It really wasn't hard to make the decision. It was hard to leave because I was leaving behind a part of me that I really liked, I really enjoyed, and I had to let it go. And still trying to think about when my health gets back to where I want to be. Some dealing here with the wineries down here in Florida, and it won't be the same. It will be it'll be steel tank, and it'll be more dessert wine, unfortunately. That's all I can work with, unless I tap in and find somebody to send me Cabernet or something else down here. I don't know.
Well, before I go, I'll leave you with last two tips. If you ever go to Sonoma Square, you should definitely drive your car or walk all the way back behind the square into the vineyards. It'll eventually dead end to a road. You know, if there's a dead end back there, but it's all live oak and vineyards. It's absolutely beautiful, and it'll really grow your appreciation for the land there. And
well, I did all that already. Like I said, I worked for a winery up in Geyserville, actually, and Cloverdale. Actually, it's Geyserville area, Cloverdale, and I was pretty much part of the staff there, and they went to a lot of events, tasting events, where I would pour wine for the winery while I was learning my own trade itself. And I became what they call me, the wine ambassador. Steve Elkins, the wine ambassador for this winery. And like I said, I got the best of education. The chemistry I loved. I would bring in my samples of wine, and I'd sit down with the winemaker for this vineyard here. We'd sit down, we'd discuss it, and we'd taste it. And then it's okay. Now it's time to do a little tweaking here. We're going to do a little chemistry science, and until I get the right mouthfeel I'm looking for. And it's just a lot of fun. I miss it. Like I said, I'm going to try to get that back, that spark back, and start down here. But it'll be a totally different wine this time around, unfortunately. But it's a good hobby. It's a great hobby. I do make beer also. So if I'm making wine, or if I don't make wine, I'll probably be making beer. And I'm getting my books all out and looking at my recipes and getting everything ready to go on that. So
I've got something to add on that.
That's another hobby of mine.
I grew up in Detroit, and I worked at some 4 and 5 star restaurants, and one of them had a sommelier, and it was the Townsend Hotel in Birmingham, Michigan. And he had taught me that making beer is more complex than making wine.
It actually is. The sanitation of making wine is a little more lax. Because you're producing a lot of in fermentation. If you inoculate your wines, I did a little bit of experimentation on that too. I used native yeast. You know, the grape skin itself in the vineyard. Some of these vineyards have the best yeast. It's called native yeast, and it's on the skins. And so when you crush them, you destem and crush. You don't have to add yeast at all. All you got to do is basically let it sit, and the yeast itself will escape the skins and start feeding on the sugar in the juice. Next thing you know, this thing is heating up. It's getting nice and hot, nice and warm. That tells you that the yeast is very active, and it's blowing off lots of CO2. The fragrance is beautiful, but in there's a lot more leeway in making wine than there is in beer. Man, sanitation is big on me anyway. I'm very sanitizing my barrels, you know, CO2 in them, and you know, whatever I have to do to make sure my barrels are clean and sterilized. I even steamed them. And you top them off again, making sure there's no headspace. But in beer making, it's boy, I tell you what, you cannot screw up. Sanitation is even more so important with making beer than it is wine. And because if you get you just get a little entrance of some bacteria in there, your beer is destroyed. And wine is a little bit more giving, because I think it's the CO2 production that protects the wine itself.
He gave us a book called Wine of the Worlds, which was that restaurant at the top of one of the Twin Towers.
Yep.
And that was the book that he trained us out of. It was just a short little read, but it really summarized, you know, the entire world of wine, which is pretty much the type of vine and the type of soil and the location that it grows in really is a big part of how the wine tastes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The terroir, they call it, is very important. Your volcanic areas there, some of the best wines coming from volcanic soil. That's Napa and Sonoma are different. And not to knock Napa. Napa makes some fine wines. But I did find some really fine wine in Sonoma also. So I think, of course, you know, the Paris Challenge and everything. Napa got the reputation through that Paris Challenge, the movie. And I think it was back in 74. But no, I think Sonoma can handle themselves. I think on a taste test, one-on-one, I think Sonoma does very, very well.
Well, you know, growing up in Michigan, they've got a lot of wineries in the northern part of Michigan, and I've never toured them, but I presume you could pretty much grow wine anywhere. It just takes on the characteristic of you know, the soil and the geography and so forth.
You can. There's some varietals that are just... they're just best in certain areas. Washington State makes some fine wines because of the volcanic soil. We'll come right back to it. And then we got some other calls I need to catch up on, but I love talking about wines. We're talking about something fun tonight. No bad stuff. We'll be right back.
To have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
DJ duties tonight are by Sam in Round Rock. He's doing a super job. Sam, you're doing a super job on the music. I love it. I just said today. Do you have anything to want to play, Steve? Did you send me links? Nothing. I know you know the music. You know what I like. So boom, nails it. Mac, let's go ahead and finish up real quick here. I got a couple more people in the loop here, and we're talking about some of our favorite things to do in our pastime to bring down our stress levels. I guess a little bit of winemaking, wine drinking, enjoying the fruits of the gods, I guess. I'm trying to remember who actually said it. I do and I don't. I got a little chemo brain going on, but I remember a phrase saying, wine is bottle poetry, and it truly is. If you have the perfect bottle of wine in the atmosphere and the occasion, I guarantee you, you will the words will flow out of your mouth. Wine is bottle poetry. Between the environment, what's your experiences, and the mouthfeel and the wine itself and the company that you have, wine is bottle poetry, Mac.
Well, I'll leave you with this, Steve. If you ever make it to Detroit, you got to go to 8 Mile in Greenfield to Baker's Keyboard Lounge. It's in a historic jazz and blues joint. All the greats have played there. And it's full of history, and you'll be so glad that you did. And in terms of switching gears, if you had just popped in my head, in terms of checking out directed energy weapons, just go to Lockheed Martin's website, and they discuss directed energy weapons that they've developed.
Thank you for that info.
Thanks for the conversation tonight.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you for the Lockheed Martin. I'll look that up on the website. So we're not cuckoos. We're not kooky. They do have the technology. I knew they did. I know. I've known this for a long time. And I think I even knew before 1993 speech from Donald Rumsfeld that we had this technology. This Star Wars type stuff here, you know, from Star Trek. Yeah, this we got a lot of stuff that that looks like fantasy and fiction in TV, but it actually exists. We actually have the technology here. So direct energy weapons, Lockheed Martin. Website. I'll check that out. Back to the phones. Let's talk to Dave in Delaware. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Steve. You can handle the truth. Here's a news release. He says that the county research group has come up with a method to legally withdraw from income tax. Their method is money back guaranteed if all six steps are observed. For more information, visit unvolunteerincometax.com and get that six steps. Send in your donation and we will send you the six steps and you will be free and rid of those thieves at the IRS forever.
All right, Dave. Thanks for that message. Appreciate it. Talk to you next Sunday again. Joe in Indiana, what's on your mind?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Joe. What's on your mind tonight?
You know, I just wanted to say what an incredible night. I mean, I love wine too, and I got the chance to, you know, I have a lot of family that lives in California, but whenever my kids got old enough, I'd I'd like to drive down the Pacific. I lived out there for a number of years when I was doing some graduate work at UCLA, and my brother went to USC. So I spent a lot of time in Southern California, but I loved going up north. But I love going to Napa. I do appreciate wines. I used to make wine with my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he could make, you know, legally in Chicagoland area, you could have 6 barrels. Yeah. So, but he had friends out in California. He'd get the grapes out. I remember going to the train station and picking up the cases, you know, and we'd smash the grapes. All my friends would come over, and we made all kinds of varieties. But it was great wine. And you want to know something? A lot of that was stuck in my head. That type of wine that he made, some of those reds, and that was like a standard for me for a long time. It took me a long time to really appreciate other wines, but he was right out of Italy. He had vineyards in Italy, and just wasn't a phenomenal guy. I really miss him. I really miss that wine too, because
That's what I miss about California. I was doing a blend wine. I was taking a Zinfandel, and I would do a little blend with Petite Syrah. I would probably, I think, 12% Petite Syrah to 15% Petite Syrah. The rest of it was Zinfandel. And it turned out beautiful. And I had it in French oak and barreled it for 18 months. And it was beautiful. I loved, you know, it's funny when you start making beer and wine, you make friends. I don't know how that works, but I seem to have more friends when I make alcohol. I guess I just...
And they're good friends, and they've got a nice serious side to them where they're really into the science. I like the science. I love how it all comes together. And I just really got it. And you probably took this tour in Napa. There's a place called Clos Pegase.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's one of my favorites. I like this eccentricity of the guy that started the place, you know. And plus, he used, I'm from Chicago originally, but we had a deep rock tunnel project. Where they used these, they went down into the stone, you know, rock area, and they dug these huge tunnels so they could supposedly store rainwater. Yeah. But the guy got a hold of those when they weren't using them, but he drilled these holes into the mountains on that property. And if you took that tour, you were in those tunnels.
But, yeah, they have several places in Northern California. Actually, the guy I worked for, he could have drilled into the mountain to do it, but it's quite expensive. He ended up making a wine cave instead. But Napa's got quite a few wine caves, and even Sonoma has some wine caves. So hang on the line here. We'll come back to you. Hang on the line.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
That we just don't have the wine and the spirits right now, and but we got some great conversation. You're talking to Joe in Indiana about, I guess, kind of our hobbies, I guess, wine and beer, and it's been an interesting night tonight. We haven't really emphasized the bad, the doom and gloom, and a little bit, but then we're talking about something kind of nice. It's a nice call.
Well, I was going to say, Steve, what I hope you do is that caller you had. I was willing to give up my spot or just to hear you two keep talking. He is real super knowledgeable. I don't live too far from the Michigan border. I've been up there a few times. You know, my wife and I will go up there. I'll take some of the kids with us, and they have some wineries, like he said. Mm-hmm. I've had some pretty nice, decent tasting wines from Michigan. Yeah. And that's a pretty brutal state in the wintertime, but they've got those vineyards, especially around St. Joe. My uncle lived around St. Joe, and there's a lot of vineyards around there, and they've got a decent.
So what's varietal? What's your favorite varietal, Joe? What kind of varietals do you like?
It's like there's a company. I don't want to say Oliver because he'll know right away, and it's like
Oliver. That's in Indiana. Oliver's Winery. That's in Indiana, Southern Indiana.
Yeah, they've got. I forgot. I'm more of a Sauvignon type, you know, grape, a Cabernet. Sauvignon. I like those.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I like.
Well,
I like
let me put you onto a good one here. If it's really reasonable, it's very. It's the cost isn't. You know, you can find a lot of great wines in cost. You can find some really fine wines under $20, and between $15 and $20, you can find some fine wines. The market is full. There's tons of great stuff out there. You shouldn't be paying more than that. I've tasted wines in the $150, $200, $300 a bottle of wine, only because I had a chance because of the wineries. And you know what? I'd find a bottle of Clos du Bois or Charles Shaw, not Charles Shaw, but Clos du Bois or Rodney Strong on their Cabernet Sauvignon, and I'd say, You're paying for name only. You're paying for the name and the prestige of telling everybody this is a $300 bottle of wine. I like quality, but I don't want to pay an arm and a leg for it. So I'm going to turn you on to a wine. You can find it wherever you are. You can find it. It's called J-Lohr. J-Lohr, L-O-H-R. And I've met Virginia Lohr, and sweet woman. Well, she's a dynamite lady. But they have a quality product out there. And if you want a fine red wine, a Cabernet Sauvignon, for a nice dinner, a nice steak dinner or something, I guarantee you will not be disappointed. J. Lohr's Cabernet Sauvignon, fine wine. Hey. Matter of fact, we bought a bottle about a week or two ago, and it's sitting in my room over there, their side of the room. And it's got a little label on it. I put a little note on it. It said, this is the bottle of wine we're going to celebrate. When my chemo is done, when I'm able to, and we're going to have a glass of wine, and we're going to celebrate moving forward with this bottle of wine.
Yeah, I wish you the best. I really do. But you know what? I'm going to leave it on a high note because my comment was similar to what you were saying about Maui. I go down to Sanibel Island quite a bit for my conferences. And I see these similarities. I mean, I love Sanibel. I've made a lot of friends over the years. And some of my favorite places are completely wiped out. And the last time I went there wasn't too long, back in June. A lot of the folks that had the restaurants said they're not going to rebuild, you know, which breaks my heart. Cause it's such a tradition down there going to these places.
Well, we had a vacation place there every May. My wife and I, we'd spend a week there on the beach in Sanibel. And the Captiva is right around the corner. So we enjoyed it. I would be fishing. I caught a couple of shark off the beach. And we would just take in the sun and the waves and the birds and the wildlife. And you know what? That's 1 week of just stress reduction. I mean, this is so nice. Absolutely. And it's destroyed right now. Sanibel is pretty much gone. My next place I can go to is maybe New Smyrna Beach. I can head over that way. Mm-hmm. I can head over to Daytona. It's too commercial, Daytona. Too many kids, but my Sanibel Island it got beat up pretty bad.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a report because I'm heading down. My buddy just called me this morning and told us about the next conference. So in October, I'll be there. But one of the hotels that's right before you get to that, where was the bridge? You know, there's a hotel next where they're going to have the conference. So I'll be able to make an assessment. I'll give you a call too. I'll actually call.
Let me know. Let me know.
Give a report. Okay.
Yeah, the place where we stayed had, I'm going to say, 12 cottages on the beach by weird names, but I didn't think only two were left. They were destroyed. And I'm not sure if they're going to rebuild at all, but we're looking for another vacation spot. It's not Sanibel right now.
Some of those people are so hardy. There was a fella I really liked when you first got on the island. One of the first places you come across is this little, we used to call it, there's a little shacky place. The guy was from Illinois, and he served fish that day. So he had fishermen out there, and they'd bring in the catch, and on blackboards he would write down what the catch was, what the fish tacos were going to be made out of.
Sure.
And everything was delicious, and he was just a super friendly guy, just a great guy, and his whole place got wiped out.
Oh,
but he said he's going to rebuild, you know.
Well.
And Doc Ford.
Good luck to him. Good luck to him.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
hey, Joe, I appreciate the call. Got to move on here. Got another call coming in from West Virginia. Thanks again. Chance in West Virginia. You're up.
Yeah, Steve, can you hear me?
I hear you fine. What's going on?
Okay. Yeah, I'm worried about my phone. My brother, late brother, lived in Fort Myers, and he told me about Captiva and Sanibel. He said there's a lot of money in those islands.
Nice places.
Yeah, a lot of money. The reason I called is I'm concerned about this directed energy weapon in Maui, because I figure this could be an indication that this might be coming to a neighborhood near us. You know what I'm saying?
Could be.
Yeah, and you know, all the vultures are swooping in now. I heard Larry Ellison owns a lot of property there. Oprah, Lady Gaga, Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac owns a restaurant.
I think Morgan Freeman's there.
And did you also know that Sammy Hagar and Steven Tyler of Aerosmith live on that island too?
No, I did not. Yeah. Did not know.
Yep. But, you know, they'll probably get thrown away, too, by the big shots once they, you know, reclaim it for themselves.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm just wondering if this is a precursor to what we're going to see here, because I think we've seen it already in Paradise, California, and
yeah,
a couple other
places. Yeah,
we
did see it there. Yeah, in Santa Rosa. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, my wife and I were driving around the other day, and we were talking about Donald Trump. Again, he's not going to participate in the 23rd Republican debates here. Doesn't feel like he needs to. He's pretty high up on the percentage, way ahead of Ron DeSantis. And I started talking to her, and after thinking about having Dane Wigginton on the show talking about geoengineering, weather warfare, and all the books I've been reading and things I've been learning about this and how storms can be manufactured and kind of directed. Now, if you have direct energy weapons, you can also find there's a way, evidently, this is beyond me, but he told me that they can actually direct the storm in a certain pathway and kind of push it. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about it. And I said to my wife, you know, they're throwing everything at Donald Trump right now to make sure he can't run in 2024. What's the odds of happening? What if we're approaching the hurricane season now, and we're stocking up on supplies. We're being really careful out here. We're getting ready. I'm getting ready. Wife's getting ready. We're just kind of taking care of business just in case, even though I'm out in the country. You never know. When I started thinking about it, if these things can be manufactured and directed and pushed in a certain direction, what happens? What would happen if, for some reason, we all learned that Palm Beach just got nailed by a hurricane here, and Mar-a-Lago was gone and wiped off the map there, basically? And this has all been purposeful. This is all created to kind of force his hand to say that I'm done here. I'm stepping out. I'm not gonna run in 2024. Nothing else is working. But understanding that these things can be manufactured and pushed, if we have a hurricane and it hits Palm Beach and wipes out Mar-a-Lago, my golly, I guess my conspiracy theory cuckoo talk isn't so cuckoo, is it?
Well, see, Steve, there's no doubt this is weather warfare now at this point. And did you hear about these hurricanes that are supposed to hit Los Angeles and San Francisco?
That's really interesting to me, because the Pacific is very cold. Typically, it doesn't get as warm as the Atlantic where I am here in the Gulf.
Right.
It doesn't get as warm. So the idea that they could have a hurricane gather steam and more energy and keep claiming that it's because of the oceans are getting warmer, that's because of climate change, human-caused global warming. I'm not buying that. Again, here in Tampa, about 2 weeks ago, I saw an article. Again, this cannot be validated, but they're saying at 5 feet deep in water in the Tampa Bay here, they have temperatures of 101, 101 degrees. Now, I did my own little experience on my little redneck pool here, which is 3 feet deep for the kids, circular. It's contained. It had a cover on it, and I couldn't get to 101 degrees temperature at all. I got no warmer than on the surface of 93, I think, degrees, and the bottom was like 87 degrees, and that's in 3 feet of water. Now, the Tampa Bay has got circulation. It's got coming, incoming, and outgoing tides, and so you have thermocline still. You have a temperature variation because of circulation of water. It's not a self-contained body of water like my little pool here. So I don't buy any of this. Again, this is pseudoscience. This is not true. There is no, at 5 feet deep in Tampa Bay, a temperature of 101 degrees Fahrenheit. That's impossible.
Steve, I got another question for you to ponder.
Sure, sure.
Now, when you look at Bible prophecy, right, they say war, pestilence, famine, you realize we're experiencing all of these things on a on a particular level? Now,
yeah,
I'm wondering... Yeah, and I'm wondering to myself, are the powers that shouldn't be forcing this issue behind the scenes with their technology?
I think they're using it for the agenda to keep throwing this at us that it's human-caused global warming. They don't want to say global warming. They've gone to the new term, climate change, but they're pointing always in the direction that we are responsible for the planet.
Well, of course,
planet's destruction.
Sure.
But you know, as we, I had an expert here, and then we had other people talking about it. CO2 makes up about 0.4% of our atmospheric air. 0.4%. That's not significant. That's not significant enough to do anything. Again, it's not a noxious gas. It's not poison. It's plant food, and they keep telling us that it's growing higher and higher in levels of CO2. And all these weather fluctuations that we're seeing around the country is because of that, and it's a lie. It's a flat-out lie.
Well, this thing in Maui, I think it's high time now people put their heads together and try to figure out who's behind this, because this is a very serious issue, it's quite overwhelming, very overwhelming. And people who think it can't happen here are only kidding themselves at this point, is what I feel. And with that, Steve, thanks for taking my call, and feel better now.
Yeah, appreciate that. No, it's interesting conversation to, if you start to think about strategically, if somebody's sitting down and saying, well, let's target Northern California, let's target Paradise, let's target Santa Rosa, Fountain Grove, let's target them with a direct energy weapon. There's an agenda attached to it. Why? Why were these areas chosen? Why the destination? Why is it here? Why was Maui chosen for a direct energy weapon? There's got to be reasons of why they chose this location. So the next question would be, what's the next location? What's the next location for a direct energy weapon attack? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know, but there is some kind of strategy behind these evil people and the locations, the places that they pick. There is something. I just don't have a clue, the mindset to figure out why here, why there. I don't know. Maybe somebody else out there does. And listen, if you do, please call in. Phone lines are open. We got a few more minutes left here. 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. Again, off my radar list here, what's off the radar is the Titan mini sub. We don't talk about that anymore. That's off the table. It's over. I thought this one was kind of interesting. Bromy James, the son of LeBron James, of course, 17 years old or 18 years old, has a heart attack playing basketball. Causation? Did he take the shot? Nobody wants to ask the question. Nobody wants to give us the answer. I've had talks with Dr. Peter McCullough on that. My guess is he was going to USC. And it is probably policy there that you have to take the shots, which appears to be some colleges are still pushing this issue of taking a COVID shot. Others have learned their lesson through lawsuits and finding out, yeah, there's a little problem here. Myocarditis, pericarditis, spike proteins, all kinds of problems. And we are seeing young people just suddenly that were healthy, no longer healthy, suddenly dropping dead. Jason Aldean's racist song, Try That in a Small Town. Don't hear about that anymore. That's history. Let me take these pop-ups out of here. And what else we got here? Of course, Obama's chef drowns. That's interesting. That's a little suspicious. 8 feet of water on a board in a pond. 8 feet of water. Martha's Vineyard pond. Supposedly a good swimmer. People on paddle boards, if they don't swim very well, they always wear a life preserver. Falls in, didn't hit his head or anything, just down, drowned. I just don't get that. UFO hearings. Well, we don't hear about that anymore. I'm sure that's a diversion, but there's so many things that are important today, and tomorrow they are gone. New York subway death. History. We'll be right back.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Coming back, the variant, a new variant's coming our way. Eris or Eris, E-R-I-S, it's in the UK, and I guess it's now here in the United States. It appears it will be emerging here very, very shortly. It's growing. We're getting a number of cases, I guess. I understand. I don't know for sure. But is it worse than the last variant? Typically, variants is a mutate and change, they actually get a little weaker and phase themselves out at some point in time, but this one evidently can't because it's part of a pandemic. But Alex Jones is talking about it, and I'd have to agree. Like I said probably 6 months ago, another one's coming, and I came to that conclusion because I understand this agenda, what's going on here, but I also understand when I hear people like Bill Gates talking about the next pandemic, the next virus, the next that these people are planning these things all for us. Again, there's agenda tacked onto them. And so a new one again here coming from the UK called Eris or Eris, E-R-I-S. It looks like they're going to be trying to shut things down mid-September. It looks like, again, we're going to go back to children probably not going to school, homeschooling, maybe businesses, again, stay at home to work, social distancing, masks, and pushing their shots. Last thing I want to say that is, this is interesting enough that Moderna has actually come out and said that their shot covers the new strain of Aris, which is amazing because it just came out. So how could that possibly be? Again, show me the data, show me the clinical data, show me the trials. You can't do that, but you can say that it does cover the strain. Again, they'll be pushing the COVID shots again here. And here we go again, starting this nonsense all over again. I hope Americans have learned from the last episode, the last variant of fraud. Please, I hope they've learned a lesson to say, you know what, no more. You've been fooling us. Nope. We wised up now. We're not going to fall for it. And no, go away. So our last call tonight, Tom in Utah, you have the last word. What's on your mind?
I want to compliment Sam again. He played a really excellent video, I guess, or a discussion by a gentleman interviewing the people involved with the transsexual issues. But my shame, I have to hang my head in shame. One of the people that he interviewed was a physician, a pediatrician at the University of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty embarrassing for me. Anyway, the other thing I just wanted to tell you is curiosity with these fires. You know, I was trained by the RAND Corporation. That helped pay for my medical event or experience. But a static wood fire, i.e. a forest, produced about 700 degrees, whereas if you get a vehicle involved or a plastic home, and I mean plastic, that goes up to 4,000 degrees. Mm-hmm. So they had to have targeted the houses. They had to have targeted vehicles.
Yeah. Exactly.
Brutal fire.
Yep, exactly. Tom, you got it. You nailed it. Direct energy weapon. Yes, they were targeted. Appreciate the call. That completes our show tonight. I am back again tomorrow night for the National Intel Report. I've got a special guest in the second hour. I talked to him the last couple of days. We've been sharing texts. He actually called me. I was like, wow, this is nice to get a call by him. Dr. Peter McCullough will be with me second hour tomorrow night on the National Intel Report. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your calls and health, happies, and safe travels. We will talk to you.
Broadcasting Network.